yesterday.
What's up?
I made a Belgian waffle. Next week, I hope you make a Frenchman change his mind.
I knew that was coming. Do you still need me to talk into the mic? Do you still need this? All right. We're up here telling horrible dad. singing Christmas Tree or something. We're like, wow, these things are great. We went and sat right up front. We're like, yeah, that's ours. They're open. Turns out we were in the balcony. We got booted.
Oh, no.
We're like, whoops.
Oh.
We're like, these are amazing seats. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
Sorry. Over time. You ready? Ready? All right. Well, good morning, Freedom Community Church. Good morning. Good morning. Is everybody awake today? Sort of. It's okay if you're not. I'm kind of not. It's all right. Well, hey, you may have noticed that we're missing a few people. I think we have like 17 or 100 or half the church or something's gone. There's a bunch of people missing today, but they're all in Ecuador. Or I'm sorry, Ecuador, in El Salvador, and they are down there on the mission trip. So we want to come on in. Let's have a great time of fellowship and enjoying what the Lord has for us today. But we want to start our time in worship. But before we do, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then we'll dive right into worship. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you today for this church and for the opportunity to gather here together as your people. And Lord, we want to lift up our brothers and sisters who are out in the mission field right now that are serving you and serving the church down there. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to bless them with safety and with health and with just an ability to minister in a way that glorifies you, Lord. And Lord, I know that every time I've ever been on a mission trip, I come back so much more blessed than I could have ever hoped to give out a blessing. And I pray that for every one of them, that they would be so blessed by the people in El Salvador and blessed by you, Lord, that they would come back and just be changed. Lord, we love you and we thank you and we're grateful that we get to serve you in so many different ways. And so today, Lord, as we worship, we pray that we would do that with a whole heart, that we would surrender our hearts to you, that we would give our hearts over to you in worship. Lord, we love you. And we praise you, and we give you all the glory, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, feel free if you'd like to stand with us as we worship, but raise your hands, do whatever you want. But we want to worship our King today, so let's do that. We're going to start with an old song called How Great Thou Art.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I and all some wonder, consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! Sparing, sent him to die. I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. thou art. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Thou art. How great thou
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we can stand here before you and say how great thou art, Lord. And this is it's an old song, but the truth is the same, Lord. You are great. And so we want to worship you. We want to praise you as we come into this place, Lord, and we want to give you all the glory. And Lord, we pray for your blessing on this church and pray for a great time of fellowship today, Lord, in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, like I said before, if you haven't noticed, we're missing a few people today, and one of those is including Rob, as I'm sure you've noticed, so I get to stand up here and do the announcements and all that fun stuff today. I'm going to grab something off the podium. Because we have a lot of stuff that we want to tell you about. So some weekly reminders. This is stuff that happens every week here at Freedom, and it's a great place if you're new to us or if you don't have a place that you plugged in, feel free to plug into one of these places. We have our Iron Men Bible study for men, of course, Iron Men, makes sense. That's in person, and that's on Saturday mornings from 8 to 9, and that's at Gene Wagner's house. Is Gene in here? Gene's out there. He's a tall guy with white hair and glasses, a beard. If you see him, tell him you want to come to his Bible study. Women have a Bible study. It's online on Mondays on Facebook and on MeWe. Does anybody use MeWe these days? You do? Okay, good. So we still have it on there. That's at 10 o'clock on Monday mornings. And then in person, we have a women's Bible study on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock and on Thursday mornings at 10 a.m. And that is at Marie Cuffin's home. And the address, you can get that at the information desk out there if that's easiest. Marie's there at the back table if you want to go and invade her home group. Please do. And then the Sunday evening home group, though, is taking a break until further notice. We always do have our Sunday worship service in person and live on Facebook. So good morning if you're out there on Facebook. And then we always send out our sermon notes and weekly e-bulletin, and you'd have to sign up for that at the information table with Crystal. Excuse me. So some current events. Those are just our weekly things. Excuse me. We want to extend a thanks to all those who helped out. There was a demo work party over at the Krolls home yesterday, and so everybody who went out to that, thank you for that. Thank you for all of your help, and I'm sure they appreciate it very much as well. January 28th, that's this coming up Saturday at 8 a.m., the Iron Men Bible study, they are actually going to do breakfast. So if you're looking for a good time to come and start doing a Bible study, oh, thank you. This Saturday morning with some breakfast would probably be a good choice to start. Let me grab a drink of this water. Thank you. All right. Maybe that's better. January 29th, so that's next Sunday. We're going to have a memorial service here for Jan Backman. with some refreshments and some other things. That's going to be from 11:45 to 12:15, so right after church. Instead of tearing everything down, we're going to leave it up, and maybe we'll pull a few things down and modify it a bit, but we're going to do that memorial service directly after the service on Sunday. Next Monday, January 30th, I'm sorry, a week from tomorrow, on Monday, January 30th, is the Women's Prayer Gathering, and again, Marie is your point person to ask for that. We're going to have a time of prayer for our children and our grandchildren. That's great. I think that's awesome. We should be praying for our children and grandchildren constantly. February 5th, we have a potluck Sunday and another mission meeting to go to Florida to help do some hurricane relief. We'll meet right after the service on February 5th and talk about that a little bit more in the travel dates. If you're looking to put that into your calendar or maybe make some plans to try to go on that mission trip, the dates are April 10th through the 14th. February 17th, we have a couples dinner. And that is at Spaghetti Factory. It's $45 a couple. Again, sign up at the info table with Crystal. And I was told that I had to make sure and mention that you have to sign up today because the restaurant needs to know the numbers of everybody that's coming so they can prepare enough food and have the space and all that kind of stuff. So if you could, if you want to come and you're planning on coming, please do go out and sign up there at the information table with Crystal, and she'll get you set up. February 17th and 18th is an event coming up here in Clark County. It's called Vertical Align. There are 26 hours of weekend. It's a weekend of prayer and worship. So 26 straight hours. And if you want to be up at 3 in the morning and be praying for people, that's your place to go for sure. But we get to pray for our city, state, our region, and that is hosted by Clark County Prayer Connect, and their flyers are at the information table, or Crystal is, I think she's the one that's kind of coordinating this, so check in with her on that. And then she has these little flyers, too, if you want to take a look at those. The last thing I have, and I promise this is the last thing for this, is our Ladies' Night Out, and that's February 22nd. Dinner will be at 5 p.m. at the Golden Corral, and movie at 7 p.m., and tickets are sold out for the dinner, or for the movie. Oh, rats. But you can join them at the dinner. So that's good. But unfortunately, I guess the tickets are sold out for the movie. All right, I think that's it. If I missed anything, I'm sure they will remind me later and we'll have to catch up with you next week. But for right now, that's the announcements that we have. All right, so now what we want to do, and I'm going to ditch my guitar here. We want to take a little bit of time to pray. And if you've been with us for a while, you know that we're a praying church and we like to pray together about some certain things. And what I'll do is I will lead out in a particular topic or piece of prayer that we want to cover, and then I'll give you some time to, there in your seats, kind of pray for that silently as well, and then we'll go on to the next one. But let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll pray for some things. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for today. Thank you for your church. And thank you, Lord, that you have put this church together. Thank you that we are a church who prays, Lord, because we want to pray all the time. We want to pray without ceasing, Lord, because we know that the prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. And so, Lord, we know that we're only righteous because of you, Jesus, but we want to pray. We want to pray according to things that are in your will. And so, Lord, we pray that you would even teach us how to pray and what to pray for, Lord. But there are some certain areas where we like to lift up, Lord, and pray for, and so we want to do that today, Lord. The first one that we want to pray for is for our nation and for our leaders. And Lord, it's not about we prefer one side over the other or one party over the other, but Lord, we want to have godly people in office, people who govern and who run things, whether it's our country or states or localities, whatever it is, Lord, we pray for leadership to be godly people. Especially those who claim to know you, those who claim to be believers, those who claim to be Christians, Lord, we pray that they would act accordingly. And oftentimes we see that they really don't. And so, Lord, we want to lift up our nation. Pray that you would bless this nation. We've been blessed, Lord, but I know that there are so many things that it seems like we're moving away from you in so many ways, Lord. Pray that you would turn this nation back to you. Pray that you would give us godly leaders who would lead us in a direction towards you, Lord. We praise you, and we pray for these things now in your name. And Lord, you ask us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And Lord, we know that ultimately peace will only come when Messiah returns, Lord. Jesus, you are the peace of Jerusalem. So we do want to pray for your return, Lord. We know that you're coming, and all signs point to that you're coming soon. And Lord, we want to pray for that. We want to pray earnestly that you would return and that you would do all the things that you say you're going to do. And Lord, we know that your holy city, Jerusalem, it's your city, Lord. You created it. We know that you have a special place in your heart for it, Lord. And so we want to pray for peace there, not just for a cessation, a stopping of hostilities. Lord, we know that there's people that die there probably every day, and that there's fighting that happens all around that. It's a hotly contested area. Lord, we want to pray for peace there, that people would stop fighting over it. But Lord, more than that, we want to pray for your return, Jesus. So let's take some time now and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And Lord, we want to also pray for the persecuted church. We have brothers and sisters all over the world, Lord. Your church is not just this place, this body of believers, but all over the world, Lord. We have brothers and sisters, and some of them are struggling because they are persecuted for their faith, Lord. And we pray that you would keep them strong in their faith, Lord, that they would stand strong and they wouldn't change direction or renounce their faith because it seems easier or expedient, Lord, but pray that you would strengthen them in their faith, that they would draw even nearer to you because of that persecution, that you would use it as a way to refine their faith and bring them nearer to you, make them stronger in their faith, Lord. And Lord, we pray for their safety. We know that many of them are imprisoned or killed. Lord, it's something we have no frame of reference for, Lord. We don't deal with any of that here. And yet, Lord, we're brothers and sisters with them, and we should be praying for their safety, praying for their peace, praying for their help, praying for their deliverance, Lord, all the time. And so we want to lift up the persecuted church to you and the believers everywhere who are persecuted for their faith, Lord. And now we pray. And Lord, now we want to take time to pray for just anyone that you lay on our hearts, Lord. Holy Spirit, pray that you would reveal to us who you want us to pray for in this moment. Maybe you want us to pray for somebody we've never met. Maybe it's somebody that we talk to every day. But Lord, pray that you would that you would lay that on our hearts so we would know how you want us to pray for that person, Lord, and who it is. And so, Lord, now we take some time to pray for whoever it is. And then we pray. Lord, thank you for the privilege that it is to pray to an awesome and almighty and holy God. Lord, we don't deserve to be able to even speak to you, and yet you ask us to bring our prayers to you. And Lord, we're blessed by that, and we're so grateful. And I hope, Lord, that we never lose sight of the fact that it is a privilege to be able to pray to you and that you hear us. And so, Lord, we lift up these prayers to you. Pray that they're glorifying to you. Pray that you would be exalted through them all and through the work that you do in the world, Lord. We love you, and we praise you, and we're so glad to be here today to stand before you and say that we are saved because of you, Jesus. And so we lift these prayers up to you, Lord. Pray that we would hear from you in return, Lord. And we know that sometimes the answer isn't always yes, and it's not always no. Sometimes it's not yet. And Lord, help us to be patient to wait on you. We praise you, God, and we give you all the glory and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, now what we want to do, looks like we have a few here that are maybe some new faces. And so what we'd like to do is stand up. Let's go ahead and let's take some time. Just find somebody that you maybe haven't seen for a while or haven't met before, or give them a handshake or a hug or something. Let's take a few minutes. Let's have a time of fellowship, and then I'll pull you back together, and then we will hear from the Word. So let's do that.
It's just really a blessing for me. Rob told me, a couple of weeks ago, and he mentioned, well, I knew the trip was happening because he asked me, I don't know, way back before the holidays about coming up, but he told me 16 people were going, and I guess it's 17 people that actually ended up going. That's amazing. I mean, that is really amazing for, let alone a church this size, but that's a big group. That is so cool. What that tells me is that this is a body that is outward facing, you know, and very much interested in ministering outside the walls here. And it sounds like you have another one going to Florida, another trip coming up to Florida. I mean, it's just great. It's just great. So it's very encouraging. And I want to pray for that group once again. We're going to be in the book of 2 Chronicles this morning, if you want to turn there. And we will get into the word here in just a minute. Let's pray, though. Lord, you are so worthy of our praise, of our time, Lord, of our lives, of our energy, of our substance, of everything that we are and all that we have. Lord, you are worthy. And I thank you, Lord, that you have reached down and met us and saved us and brought us into your family. We thank you for the hope we have of heaven. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing we have to minister with one another and to the world, bringing your light and life to the darkness, Lord. We thank you also for your word. And I pray this morning as we open it that you would bring application and understanding, and by your Spirit, Lord, that you would do whatever it is you intend. As we hear the word, Lord, deposit it in our hearts that it might bear fruit. We pray your blessing on our time in the word. I pray your blessing again on the group that is down in El Salvador. I pray, Lord, that you would keep them safe. And Lord, may the testimony of all that you did be an encouragement to this body. We pray these things in your precious name. Amen. Amen. We're going to be 2 Chronicles again, as I mentioned, chapter 20. You may have noticed that the Bible is full of battles. There are battles all over the place. I mean, there are the epic one between the world and Jesus, of course, but also between the hearers of the New Testament apostles and the difficulties that they went through. And then, of course, when you go to the Old Testament, there's battles everywhere. And it makes sense. Life is full of battles of all kinds. Life is a battlefield. I think we could all attest to that for sure. I'm wondering if you've noticed that as we read these stories, we're going to look at one. 2 Chronicles 20 is one of those stories. I wonder if you've ever noticed that there is not one victory in the Bible where the credit is given to a person. Not one. There may have been attempts to claim victory, but there is not one that you could look at and we could say, you know, it's a good thing that so-and-so led the people of Israel into battle because he did a great job and he won the victory and so forth. That's never the case. It is always the Lord who wins the battles. And there are some crazy, crazy battles in the Bible that we're given. And there's no way that man could possibly claim credit for the victories that we see. Not one battle in the Bible where God gives credit to a person. God's people never lose. Have you noticed this? God's people never lose a battle ever that was committed to him. Not one. There isn't one battle in the Bible that the people of God lose if that battle was committed to the Lord. Now, what we see in that, and what we should see in all of the Bible, is that Jesus is the hero of every story. Jesus is the hero. We talk about the heroes of our faith. Well, I mean, they're heroes in the sense that these are men and women who fleshed out faith and won great victories. But they're not the heroes. The hero is the Lord. Always, every time. Every time, it's him. And the glory should always and must always go to the Lord, not us, ever. Ever. Not us, ever. So what that tells us is we need to let the Lord fight our battles. Amen? That makes sense? He's really good at it. He's really good at it, and we really stink at it apart from him. So in the battles that we are waging in our own life that come against us, the things that we're dealing with, it would only make sense that we would allow the Lord to fight our battles for us. We must, in fact, do just that. So let's look at an example of that. In fact, this is it's a crazy one, and it stars, if you would, the King Jehoshaphat. And I say that, you know, kind of tongue in cheek, but Jehoshaphat is actually a pretty stand-up leader. And if you're familiar with the books of 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles, they don't come up all that often. These leaders of Israel or leaders of the people of Israel that do a great job. Well, Jehoshaphat is one of those who seems to really have had it dialed in just a bit. So let me begin in verse 1. It says, "After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, and with them the Menuhites came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, 'A great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea, and behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, that is, in Gedi.' Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord." Now again, for you Bible students, that's unusual, right? That the enemy comes, the king falls on his face before the Lord, calls a fast, and the people come and seek the Lord. All of that is somewhat unusual in the annals of the people of Israel. Usually, they freak out, run around, you know, in the circle for a while, and then they get wiped out. And I mean, it's just a mess. Godless kings, godless people, and they, you know, they just make a mess of everything. Well, we can do the same thing. We can run around and make a mess of everything too. But these people here under the leadership of Jehoshaphat, they start off right. And in fact, I love what it says there. It says that Jehoshaphat, he was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord. Now, that's a good recipe right there. He was afraid. That's a natural human response. But his reaction wasn't to freak out or run away. His reaction was to seek the Lord. And we could learn a lot from that for sure. I wonder sometimes, so, you know, they were afraid, this big army that came against them. I wonder if God wouldn't occasionally ask his people or respond to his people in the way that Napoleon did way back when, Now, Napoleon was, I think by most estimations, probably the greatest military leader the world has ever seen, apart from, I would argue, King David. But Napoleon certainly had a gift for warfare. And he was, which was not all that unusual, he and his army had arrayed themselves against the enemy, and the enemy was significantly larger than his forces that were under his leadership. And so he sent one of his officers to go assess the strength of the enemy. And the enemy came back and said, there's a lot of them. There's way more of them than there are of us. And Napoleon's answer to that, his response to that is, how many did you count for me? And what he meant by that was, and what was true of his own skill, was that he could do with 5,000 what others couldn't do with 50. His leadership was so great, his prowess was so acute, that he could, and often did, overwhelm armies, defeat armies that were much, much bigger than he was, than they were. And I wonder sometimes when we are facing battles, if the Lord wouldn't say to us, you know, Lord, this battle looks overwhelming. The enemy looks like, I feel outnumbered. And I wonder if the Lord wouldn't say, well, how many did you count for me? Because one person with God is an overwhelming army. Amen? Any one person with God is an overwhelming army. So maybe the Lord would occasionally ask you and me, I wonder how many are you counting for me? Because I am here, and that makes a huge difference. Lord, this looks impossible, far too big for me, it's overwhelming. Well, how many do you count for me? Verse 5, Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations, in your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Do you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants, or did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? And they have lived in it and have built for you in it a sanctuary for your name. If disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and we will cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. He mentions a few things. He mentions the sword. That would be an enemy coming against you. That judgment, which would be God himself coming against the people of Israel, which we see numerous times throughout Scripture. Pestilence, which would be a natural occurrence. And famine, the same thing. So he's talking about kind of a broad spectrum. Physical enemy, you yourself, Lord. Natural things that occur to us. And the way I look at, and I think the way perhaps we should all look at battles that we face, is that all of them end up being a spiritual one at its core. So whether it's pestilence or famine, whether it's God's judgment or the enemy, in Jehoshaphat's case with the people of Israel, all of those ultimately become a spiritual issue. This is a physical enemy coming against the people of Israel, and what are they doing? They're praying, because they realize that there's a spiritual dynamic here that needs to be addressed and identified and brought to play. But I think about our own situations in life that we deal with. For instance, you have a physical ailment, a very difficult situation physically, and those things, you know, of course, thankfully, we have medical care we can get, and there's all kinds of things like that, but they affect us emotionally. There are things that physical sickness can do that affect us emotionally, and most of the time, when you're dealing with physical things, it becomes an issue of the heart at some point. How I'm relating to the Lord concerning that, where my attitudes are about that, how I'm praying concerning those things, how I'm treating other people because I'm hurting, am I ministering out of my pain? Those kinds of, all of those dynamics, it becomes a spiritual issue at some point. You think about our children. Maybe you have a child or have had a child that went sideways. How long does it take before that becomes a spiritual issue? Not just a physical issue, not just a person-to-person thing, but it becomes an issue between you and the Lord that you're calling out to the Lord for help. And we see that in every aspect of our life, those things that we might war against becomes a spiritual battle, which is why we're told in Ephesians that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? But against principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness, and heavenly places, and so forth. It's spiritual. So if we are wrestling with flesh and blood, we're fighting the wrong battle. That makes sense? We're fighting the wrong battle. Here is an example of that. This is a real flesh and blood issue. These are real soldiers that really want to do physical harm to the people of Israel. But where's the battle being fought? It's being fought in the temple, on their knees, making requests of God. Right? And that's where they all end up, or should all end up. And boy, it can feel an awful lot like beating your head against a wall if we don't get those things before the Lord. It just becomes so incredibly difficult and oftentimes impossible. So these things, you know, you talk about marital issues. That going to be really fixed, mano a mano, flesh on flesh? No. How about you lose a job? I mean, there's circumstances that come into our lives, and how are we going to stand against them? Well, they're going to be a spiritual battle eventually. So he goes on to say, verse 10, now, and behold, the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they avoided and did not destroy. You might recall that story. These are the descendants of Esau. And when Israel was on their march through the wilderness, they came against these people. And Moses inquired whether, you know, they should go to war against them. And the Lord just said, no, just make a big loop around them. You know, those Esau, they're part of the family, so let's not battle. Well, these are the ones now that they're fighting. Behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given to us to inherit. O our God, he continues in his prayer, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. Now tell me if this doesn't sound familiar to you. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Ever felt like that before? Lord, I have no clue what I'm supposed to be doing in this situation. I have no idea. And hopefully the second part is also true, but my eyes are on you. I can't figure this out. I've tried everything I could possibly come up with and none of it's worked. I just don't know what to do now. I don't know what to do next. But I'm looking to you, Lord. You're my last hope. Not Obi-Wan Kenobi, but Jesus Christ, you are my last hope, because I've exhausted my resources. And that's where Jehoshaphat, I just love that. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Man, that could be a fridge verse. Stick it on your fridge. That's what my mom always used to do. Verse 13, meanwhile, all Judah stood before the Lord with all their little ones, with their wives and their children. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Huro. Here we go. Don't you love these Bible names? Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. So Jahaziel stood up, and he has a word from the Lord for the people of Israel. And he says to them, Judah and the inhabitants of all Jerusalem, listen. And King Jehoshaphat, listen. Thus says the Lord, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. It's not yours, but God's. And listen, saint, that's for us too. Every battle, it's not up to us. It's the Lord's battle, and He will fight for us. He will fight for us. What is the example that we have in Scripture? Follow the Lord, obey Him, let Him fight. Right? We're told we're more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. This approach to Christian life is really locked down, solid. The Lord will fight for you. You do not need to fight. Do not be dismayed by this great horde, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. Now, I hope in your thinking, you're not saying, well, that sounds like Old Testament speak, and that doesn't apply to you and me today. I would say to that, hogwash. It absolutely applies to us today. And the more that we would stand on this principle of God fighting our wars for us, our battles for us, the more I think we would experience the abundant life that He has offered us. These stories were told in the New Testament. You know, the more modern version, the New Testament says that these stories are given to us for an example. An example of what? How to fight battles, in this case. Isn't it cool, though, that you just read a story and you go, well, does that really work? And the answer, by the way, is yes to that question. But we ask that, can I really go through life like that? Can I really go through life like that? What's he say? You don't need to fight. Stand firm. Hold your position. See the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah. Don't be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Now he says, the next line I find interesting. He says, tomorrow go out against them. Well, wait a minute. Didn't you just say stand firm and hold yourself in your place, don't go anywhere? Didn't you just say stay where you are and the Lord's going to fight your back? You said, explain this to me. You just said that I could just stay in my place and the Lord will fight my battle. Now, why are you saying I have to now go out against them? Which is it? And the answer is both. Now, there is a great parallel story also in the Old Testament. If you keep your finger here, turn to Exodus chapter 14. Now, as you're making your way there, this is the story of the Exodus, when the people of Israel, under the leadership of Moses, had come to the edge of the Red Sea. And you remember that Moses was the instrument God used, along with the plagues and the signs and wonders that he committed or brought upon the people of Egypt. He used those things, ending with the killing of the firstborn and the Passover. You guys remember all those stories. Awesome. And Moses kept saying, "Let my people go. Let my people go." And finally, Pharaoh said, "Okay, you can go." But before they got very long out of town, apparently Pharaoh realized that all of his pyramid building labor has just left town. All the slaves that were used to make bricks without straw, if you remember that story, they've just hightailed it out of Egypt, and now who's going to build all of his cities? So he sends the army after the Israelites. You remember that story? And while the Israelites are moving along, you know, with their children and their whatever they had with them, you know, just kind of plodding along, here come the chariots of Egypt hot after them. And as is typical of the people of Israel and us, unfortunately, when Pharaoh drew near to the people of Israel lifted their eyes, it says in verse 10, and behold, the Pharisees were marching after them, and they greatly feared, and the people of Israel cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, "Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians." I mean, these Israelites were the class A whiners of all history. Reminds me of me sometimes, okay? I mean, these guys never were happy about anything. They apparently, well, you know, Moses had to talk them into actually leaving, even though they were in bondage and captivity for 400 years. He had to woo them out of town. And now they're complaining because it looks like their goose is cooked and the Egyptian army's going to catch up with them. So he said, were there not enough graves in Egypt that you had to bring us out here so we'd have a place to be buried? Right? It's actually kind of funny. If you pay attention, reading through the book of Exodus, Moses, in fact, will intercede him. He loved the people of Israel and took his job very seriously and did it wonderfully, obviously. They were God's people, the apple of his eye. But on various occasions, they would claim that the people belonged to the other person. "These are your people, Moses. You take care of them. I can't take it anymore," God would say to Moses. And Moses said, "I can't deal with this. These are your people. You need to wipe them off the face of the earth." "Well, no, I got it." You know, and they go back and forth. They drove Moses and God crazy. And they're doing it again. "You should have left us in Egypt." So Moses says in verse 13, and here's the part I wanted you to see. Moses says to the people, and this will sound familiar, "Fear not, stand firm and see the salvation which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You only have to be silent." I mean, that's epic Burt Lancaster right there, right? Stand still. Was it Burt Lancaster? Was that the... You're probably wondering why... See, I'm not quite old enough. Ha, ha, ha. That's right. It was the other guy. The over-actor, Charlton Heston. That's right. Okay. Oh, man. That wasn't even in my notes, and I still messed it up. Okay, so... That is actually, you would think, you could take verse 13 and 14 of chapter 14 of Exodus, and you could make a sermon out of that about how to let the Lord fight your battles. It sounds very much like what the prophet was saying to the people of Israel in Jehoshaphat's story. "Fear not, stand firm, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. The Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you. Be silent." It sounds like that he is right on the money. But if you read the next verse, apparently the Lord didn't think so quite. Because the Lord says to Moses, "Why do you cry for me? Tell the people to go forward." So the content of what he was saying was correct. But apparently Moses was guilty of something that you and I can do from time to time, which is we pray and pray and pray and pray and keep praying and praying. We keep praying and praying and praying and praying and praying and keep praying. And someone asks you, "How's that thing going?" He goes, "I'm still praying about it." At some point, the Lord would say, "Stop praying and start moving." Right? He would say, "Stop praying. I got the prayer part. I heard you. I got it. The last 300 times, it's time to move forward. It's time to move forward." And that's what the Lord's telling Moses. He said, get up. Stop your preaching and move the people. And he'll tell them, "Stretch your hand over the water and I will part it." Right? And the wind came and the Lord parts the sea. Now, I will digress just for a moment. Did that staff that Moses held up, did that part the sea? No. Did the marching around Jericho 7 times, did that bring the walls down? No. But God used the 7 times around. Joshua was participating with the Lord. Right? God did all the work, but Joshua was there. God did all the work in this story, but Moses obeyed and lifted up his staff. God had a plan for David and Goliath, but David picked up the 5 stones. Right? So as we're enjoying how the Lord brings victory into our lives, he does want to partner with us. Do we take any credit? Can we take any credit? No. No, no more than Moses could say that I parted the seas by lifting my staff. I mean, that's goofy. It's just goofy. But you'll see it throughout the stories. Gideon, right? Did the broken pots and the trumpets beat the Amalekites and the Midianites and the children of the east? Is that what won the battle? No, God did. But did Gideon participate? Yes. And so that's a dynamic that we see in Scripture over and over and over. God will do all the work. We just participate. He wants us to partner with him in the work that he's doing. And of course, as we're partnering with him, we get the front row seat to the victory. And it builds our faith. And it strengthens our walk. So what this guy said, Jahaziel, what he said to the people was, "Stand, stay, stand, be quiet, hang out. But in the morning, get up and go." Right? And that's a word for you and I as well. Then verse 18, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord and worshiped the Lord. And the Levites and the Kohathites and the Korathites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Okay. You ready for a huge life lesson in the Christian walk? And how you will find a greater degree of enjoying the abundant life that Jesus has offered to us? Do that. Worship the Lord? Well, yes, of course. But do you notice when they're worshiping the Lord? Has the battle started? Nope. Has the war been won yet? Nope. They're rejoicing. Listen, church, they are rejoicing. Listen, saint, they're rejoicing based on a promise. They're rejoicing based on a promise of victory. Now, back to Moses and the complainers. God said to the people of Israel through Moses that he was going to bring them out of Egypt into the land that the Lord your God has given you. Now, that land that the Lord their God had given them happened to be on the other side of this body of water called the Red Sea. But there was a promise given. I'm going to bring you out to take you in. Right? That's what the whole Exodus was about. Now, they had a little 40-year hiccup because some spies came back and said, don't go in. But the intent from the beginning was, I'm going to bring you out to take you in. Amen? That was a promise that they were given. Now they were at the Red Sea, just going back into the other story. They're back at the edge of the Red Sea, and what are they doing? They're freaking out. They're complaining. God does what he's going to do anyway, because he's gracious and because he's who he is. And then they get to the other side of the Red Sea, and we were in chapter 14. When you get to chapter 15, you Bible students might recall that that is where we find what is called the Song of Moses. Horse and rider were thrown into the sea. Right? Remember that? That ring a bell at all? I don't have time to read it all to you this morning, but they sang a song. They got to the other side of the Red Sea, and they sang a song about the victory that God brought. Well, that's good, but it's late. It's late. They could have sang that song on the other side of the Red Sea. Why? Because God had given them a promise. Now, we're seeing the alternate version here with Jehoshaphat. He and the people heard a promise that God will win this battle for them, and they fall on their knees and give glory to God for a victory that they haven't even seen yet. Now, that is the way to live. That's the way to live. Because God has promised us a victorious life. Free of problems? No way. Free of issues and trouble and tribulation and all the rest? Absolutely not. But all of that is spiritual. And God's kind of got the spiritual thing dialed in, don't you think? So we have every reason to praise the Lord now, to give him thanks now for the things that he is going to do. And that changes my whole outlook on life. Because I could either be Exodus 14, Israelites, are there not enough graves in Egypt that you had to bring? I could be that kind of Eeyore. God's still going to do what he does, right? But I wasted all that time being an Eeyore, being a grumbler and a complainer. I could have just been rejoicing Jesus all along because he's going to do what he's going to do. So why not start praising early? That's my point. Start praising early. That's what we see in our story here. They just started having a worship service based on a promise of victory. And oh, by the way, there are lots of those we can find right in that book you've got on your lap. Promises of victory. So verse 20, they rose early in the morning, went into the wilderness of Tekoa, and when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God and you will be established. Believe in his prophets and you will succeed. You gotta love this guy. Most of these kings were really blockheads. I mean, really, really bad. And this guy is really got his thing together spiritually. You just gotta love it. And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire as they went before the army and say, give thanks to the Lord for his steadfast love endures forever. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. For the men of Ammon, listen to this, for the men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir. They started fighting each other. Whack! And devoted them to destruction. And then they made an end of the when they made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they all helped to destroy one another. When there was no other enemy to kill, they started killing their own guys. That's crazy. Is that crazy? That's crazy. So Jehoshaphat leads the people into battle. He said, you got to get up and go out against them. Right? That was the word. They'd get up and go. So they got up and went, singing praise as they went. And by the time they got to the front line, the battle was over. Literally over. They all killed each other. Who does that but God? Right? And listen, church, a lot of our hang-up in trusting God is because we don't know, we can't see how it's going to work out. We can't see a way to the finish line. We can't see a solution. We can't see it, right? And that's why we get discouraged, because I have used my arsenal, I've used everything I had, and I got nothing. And I can't see a way from here to there. Yeah, but you don't have to, because God just invents stuff all the time. He created out of nothing, right? Out of nothing. There was nothing, and he made something. And that's what he does for us all the time. I can't see it. How's this ever? This is never going to work out. Well, how many do you count for God? Right? How many do you count for God? Because he does all kinds of really cool stuff that you would never in a million years think about, ever. You'd never come up with it. I have stories like that in my journals. Many of them. I just write, you know, Lord, there is no way this is going to work out. You know, weeks later, months later, whatever, you know, later. Well, remember when I said there's no way this is going to work out? You know, you're such an idiot. They could not have anticipated this, right? They could not have anticipated this. Anyway, they all killed each other. So when Judah came to the watchtower of the wilderness, they looked toward the horde, and behold, there were dead bodies lying on the ground. None had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found among them in great numbers goods, clothing, precious things, which they took for themselves until they could carry no more. And they were 3 days in taking the spoil. It was so much. All Jehoshaphat and the Israelites had to do was mop-up duty. Go collect the loot. Didn't swing a sword. Didn't throw a spear. If that's what you do with spears, I'm not real sure. But anyway, didn't do anything. Didn't do anything in the actual battle. They just went out against them. Because that's what God asked them to do. Just show up. And when they showed up, the battle was already done. So here's something that I see in this story, and that I have personally experienced to be a great tool. In fact, my wife and I just went through this kind of a process a couple of weeks ago concerning her job, and I gave her this kind of advice or principle or perspective or way to go through life. I don't know how you guys work in your marriage, but my wife's a very capable, God-loving woman, and it was a job choice. What do I care, right? I mean, what do you want to do? Do what you want to do. You know, if you like that, do that or whatever. And it kind of got kerfuffled a little bit. She had a job offer, and anyway, it kind of went back and forth. There's no reason to get in all the details, but I told her at one point, I said, honey, sleep on it, right? And because she was just ready to go, just make a decision. She was just ready to do it. I said, sleep on it. Just take the time. And she did literally sleep on it, but she didn't really sleep on it, if you know what I mean, right? So she did actually make it through the night before making the decision public, but she didn't really take it to the Lord and do all that stuff. And the reason I know that, okay, I'm not judging her at all. The reason I know that is she came back to me and she says, whatever you tell me for the rest of our lives, I will listen to you. That's what she said. And I said, well, this could work out pretty well. I would like a new truck. So anyway, so we just went through this. So here's the thing. Let the Lord get ahead of you. You have to let the Lord get ahead of you. Why? Because he will fight the battles. So when we're faced with decisions that have to be made, when you are forced with a difficult conversation that you know you need to get engaged in, maybe this side were to work better. Wait, I don't know. I'm still trying this out. But but you know that you're supposed to have that conversation that is coming. It's not avoidable. The Lord wants you to do that. Wait. Wait is a grossly undervalued discipline of the faith. What we want to do is what God does here. Because in every battle that we've committed to the Lord, of course, there's victory in some form. It may not be the form you're thinking, but there will be victory because it's in Christ. Every battle that we engage in with the Lord, you have to believe that he's working the other side of that. This is crucial. You've got to believe he's working the other side of that, right? You know what it looks like coming from the front. You know that's difficult or maybe not even possible. God doesn't use the Israelites here at all. But what's he goes around and he's working the other side of it, right? So I can't tell you how many times when I've had like a difficult counseling issue or even an issue with my wife, Becky, or whatever. If I'm wise, I wait, and let the Lord work on the other side, right? Because if I'm in the will of the Lord, he has an intention for that confrontation, he has an intention. Let him get his thing done on that side. And then when you know that you've been told to move forward, then do that. But not until. Otherwise, you're fighting a battle that's not ready to be won. Let the Lord get ahead of you. You ever heard that? Or have you said this? Don't get ahead of God? Well, that's stupidity. That's just stupidity to get ahead of God. But you really, in these battles, you want him to get ahead of you, way ahead of you, if possible, so he can work the other end, work the other side, do whatever he's doing on that side. And then as you engage, being led by the Spirit in obedience to the Lord, then you will find that interaction, whatever it might be, will be the best possible outcome you could have imagined. Let the Lord get ahead. Let the Lord get ahead. That's what we see in this story. That's what we see in this picture. And it's a super important dynamic of the Christian walk. Yeah, wait. We do need to wait. Be silent. Be still. Let the Lord win the battles. Let him get ahead of you. And then when it's time, move forward. Move forward. Well, I love these stories. I love the practical way that they speak into our lives. And man, there are so many more that you and I can glean from and make our own as the Lord leads. Let's pray. You are the Lord, mighty in battle. And we would be wise, Lord. I mean, Napoleon had nothing on you, clearly. We would be wise to commit our ways to the Lord and wait for you to do your thing so that we can walk in victory. It's never up to us, Lord, it's always you. And I am not only okay with that, I'm depending on that, Lord. I pray, Lord, by your Spirit, that you would help make application, that we might grow, be strengthened in our inner man. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Final word. You and I, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you and I are going to be in one of these battles. I don't mean spiritual battle against the, spiritual wicked. I mean an actual battle. All of us will be. Every one of us who believes in Jesus Christ, it's found in Revelation chapter 19. When the Lord returns, trailing behind him is his army clothed in white. Guess who's that? That's us. That's us, gang. But it says there in Revelation 19, so it says that we're coming behind him dressed in white, and he's the one who's sitting there with his name written on his thigh, right? And out of his mouth comes a sharp two-edged sword with which to destroy the nations. It's when he's returning at Armageddon. And all we're doing is mop-up duty. He does all the work. But we are actually... Sorry, Wade. We are actually going to witness this kind of victory we were looking at today. We're actually going to witness it with our own eyeballs. One day, soon and very soon. Isn't that amazing? And he does all the work. Just with a sword out of his mouth, he destroys the enemies of God. Can't wait for that day. God bless you.
Amen. Perfect song for you. Amen. All right. Well, thank you very much, Scott.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide. And all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you, I'm in all of you, where your love and washed away. I owe to you, I owe to you, Jesus. There's a place where sin and shame are powerless, where my heart has peace with God and forgiveness, and all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you, I'm in awe of you. Where your love met and my sin washed white, I owe to you, I owe to you. Here, my hope is found, here, on holy ground. Here I bow down, here I bow down. Here, arms open wide, here, you saved my life. Here I bow down, here I bow. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you, I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe to you, I owe to you, I owe to you, I owe to you, Jesus.
For all your goodness, I will keep on.
10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, I worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. My strength is failing, the end draws near, and my time has come. Still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore, forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, I worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, I worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. I worship Your holy name. Yes, I worship Your holy name.
Amen. Let's stand as we close out today.
When all I see is a battle, You see my victory. All I see is the mountain, You see a mountain move. And as I walk through the shadows, Your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I'm safe with You. So when I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to You, and every fear I lay at Your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to You. If You are for me, who can be against me? For Jesus, there's nothing impossible for You. When all I see are the ashes, You see the beauty. Cross, God, You see the empty tomb. Oh, so when I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to You, fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh, God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Oh God, belongs to you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that I had no idea what Scott was going to preach about today, Lord, and that you put that together and it works. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for everything today, Lord. Thank you for the great reminder that it is that we we get to follow you into those battles, Lord, that we don't have to do it alone. Lord, we want to follow after you. We want to go where you send us, Lord. And if you tell us to wait, we want to wait. And if you tell us to go, we want to go. Lord, help us to be faithful in that. Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for this opportunity to gather together in fellowship, just to enjoy this time that we have together. Lord, we're grateful for it, and we look forward to it until next Sunday when we get to do it again. But in the meantime, Lord, pray that you would bless your people, Lord, as we go out into the world, whether it's school, work, anywhere that we go, Lord. Pray that you would help us to be your hands and feet, that you would help us to show the love of Jesus to this world. We praise you, God, and we thank you. And we pray for your blessing on this church in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm gonna drop my guitar, and I'm going to go over and do the benediction. Give me a minute.
All right.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? All right.
Let's rise for the benediction. May you walk in the Spirit, experiencing the fullness of the joy of the Lord, shining as a light in a lost world, standing firm in your faith, testifying to your family, friends, and community by your love for God and for others. May your fellowship with the Holy Spirit and your ability to hear the voice of our great Shepherd and your daily transformation to be more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, overflow in you in every moment until you see him face to face and eternally see him in all of his glory to forever enter into his rest. Amen. Amen. Well, have a great week, church. We'll see you next Sunday.